I be playing.
Good morning and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Adam Starrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Life, and with me are mine co-hosts here, Andrew Deere, Coordinator of Facility Operations for University Rec, and Mark Mayfield, Associate Director for Editorial and Student Media, no relation to Baker Mayfield, although it seems like there is some sort of relationship there. We just can't get to the bottom of it.
It's Mayfield.
They all stick together. It's week 10 of the college football season. Bama's back in action this evening in a huge SEC game against LSU at Bryant-Denny Stadium. We'll discuss that game and a lot of others around the country as we go through this next hour, and we'll also give our subtle opinions about the new college football playoff rankings that just came out for the first time this season Tuesday evening. I'm sure we all have some thoughts on that. But first, Andrew, Mark, let's talk a little bit about the bye week that Bama took and that we took as well, and what went on in college football last week, since I'm sure our listeners were just lost without us last Saturday morning.
We left them wanting some more after 2 weeks ago, and they didn't get it last week.
They just don't have a lot of options at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning. It's hard to find somebody talking about college football at that time.
It really is.
There's a void there when we're taking the week off.
I personally enjoyed the bye week, you know, but I still watched as much college football as I could. You know, mentioned off air a little bit. On Halloween, Sonic had 50-cent corn dogs. So, ironically, LSU week, I had to partake in that. Maybe had one too many corn dogs. Yeah.
You were injured, right?
I was. I hurt myself. Guys, I'm going to be honest. On air, I had five corn dogs.
It's the perfect food.
It really is.
Hey, that's sweet corn batter. Though.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's LSU week.
For LSU,
right.
You did your job.
I did it for the team.
Right. You did your job to be a champion.
It's been fun. And, you know, Mark, you can tell us how you missed the Penn State Ohio State game.
Yeah, I did. But I was driving a group of students back from the National College Media Convention in Dallas, and we were on the road coming back, long haul.
You had some hardware with you, didn't you? Some new hardware with you.
Yes, we did. The Crimson White won Weekly College Newspaper of the Year.
Oh, congratulations.
Not a big deal, though. Yeah. Huge deal.
Yeah. No, it was great. And the best thing about it was all the screaming when they won. I mean, it was fantastic because there were hundreds of students in there when this was announced. And the countdown was like, you know, we knew we were finalists at CW, but they go to honorable mention, fourth, third, second, and you know you're in that finalist group. And when you get to second place and you're not mentioned,
It's like Miss America.
It's a lot like Miss America. And the Crimson White students, the editor, the managing editor were there, the news editor, great group of students, and it was really fun.
That's awesome.
See the announcement, so that was great.
That's really great.
But
Adam,
I couldn't get football on the drive back, though, because kept trying to change stations. You know, it was a long haul, about 9 hours, and trying to get the Ohio State-Penn State game.
I'm sure the Starrett household was on high alert during that game. Adam, give us a picture of what was happening, what were tensions like.
Extremely high alert. We had prepped for the day. We were staying in that day watching football. It was a nice cold day here in town. It was fall. We had a fire in the fireplace. It was raining that morning. Just we had the tailgating foods.
Taylor made to stay inside.
Absolutely, we treated it like a bowl game day, frankly, and we just had it all decked out. We were ready, and the game got ugly fast for Ohio State. And my wife turned it off, and she at times does not believe that the team deserves her watching them. And if they're not going to put in their full amount of effort, then she's not going to put in the effort either.
That's fair.
And so something.
There we go.
And so she stopped watching it. And at some point, I checked back into the bedroom TV to see how they were doing, and they would come back and make a good play, and then lay the ball on the ground, and I'd leave again, and came back and forth. And we're a little bit superstitious about things, and so they started having a good run in the second half when I was sitting in a chair in our bedroom, and so I stayed there, and one of my boys joined me as the clapping got louder. I'm a loud clapper, and they got better and better, and I was trying to yell out to the living room and say, hey, turn it back on, because at this point, the Georgia-Florida game was a blowout. The other 2:30 games that were great matchups didn't really go very well either, and this game creeped up to be the best game of the day. And even with a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, when really they had it in hand, she wouldn't turn it on either, and it wasn't until probably under a minute when it was that last first down when they really had just kneel downs left that she turned it back on and watched the end. And I think went back the next morning and watched the last quarter of it because it's still on the DVR. The college football wrap-up show is still on the DVR to this day. And so I think that the Ohio State National Championship from 3 years ago just got deleted off the DVR like last week. And so, yeah, it was a tough day in our house. And all those games being at 2:30 were strange, too, because then all of a sudden you're at 6:30 and where do you go from there?
Absolutely, Mark. You mentioned you couldn't get the Ohio State Penn State game, but all the best matchups of the day were at 2:30. And with not having a show last week, we couldn't really talk about that. You know, NC State, Notre Dame, which we'll get into Notre Dame later.
It was close for a while. That game was close for a while.
It was a good game. Florida, Georgia, which we thought was going to be a good game, ended up not being a good game. Ohio State, Penn State, maybe the game of the year with the most implications and how exciting it was and things of that nature. So you did miss a great day. You missed really one good game in that time slot, Mark. Yeah. But that game was epic.
Only
really
two and a half quarters of the game were great, though. The comeback was
you're
epic.
Right.
The first quarter and a half was like, this team isn't showing up. I mean, Ohio State looked awful. They looked confused. It was the worst version of their offense. And then JT Barrett decided that he was just going to beat the other team. And
he played
that's what happened.
Near flawless second
he
half. He was truly incredible.
The numbers were
watch.
Incredible. Yeah. And that's the version of JT that I think they've been waiting to show up on a consistent basis. And that's the version of JT that could win a Heisman Trophy. That's the version of JT that could lead them to victory. And that's the version of JT that played a little bit when they had other quarterbacks 3 years ago when their team was so strong. But
He really has not just broken out in the way that everybody expected. Yeah. And I wonder what that was about, because maybe it took that sort of, getting behind and getting in a huge game that has implications. They lose that game, they don't have a chance at the playoffs. And they do now. And so it was maybe it took that. But also, I just wonder from an offensive coordinator standpoint, if they said, we're letting you go, just do what you want.
Do what you want to do. That's what I think, too. And he's that quiet leader, and they always talk about that quiet, calm leader. And sometimes I think maybe it takes something more dramatic to get the quiet, calm leader to get the team behind him. I'm not sure. But that was certainly a great game to watch, and it certainly makes the rest of the season for that team and the Big Ten a little bit more interesting, because the Big Ten sneakily has a bunch of teams that are kind of in the mix. I mean, Wisconsin, Wisconsin gets the easy draw of both sides of the Big Ten this year, they haven't lost a game yet. Michigan State out of nowhere beat a couple of teams. Michigan's still lingering around with enough high-ranked opponents on their schedule left to maybe make some noise. And now that Georgia is such a favorite of the world for some reason, that the whole two SEC team in the playoff possibility comes into the mix, and whatever the Big 12 is going to do by stubbing their toe and having no championship game and continuing to be strange and beat each other up. So
I think the Big Ten's better than the SEC top to bottom, and I think I think obviously the SEC, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, but SEC has Bama and Georgia, these elite teams, but the lower half of the SEC is horrible.
It's a big gap, yeah.
And I think the Big Ten has teams that can beat you on any given Saturday all the way down the line. There are a couple of them that are horrible, but the rest of them, like Wisconsin's a great plan. They're unbeaten, and people are saying, well, they hadn't played anybody, but they won what they played.
You can't change
the schedule midstream, and they just don't have I don't think they have Penn State or Ohio State this year, or Michigan. And so what are you going
to
do?
Which is incredible to think about.
That's like what's been happening to Georgia. Georgia's been getting that draw in the SEC for years in a row of not having anybody in the West until they had us a couple years ago, and they got walloped in the rain at home. And so that's how it works, and that's the math, and you got to take advantage of those years when you can get them.
That's true.
It was a great bye week. I'm glad we're back at it this week, though, especially with a huge home game in the SEC. And I'm sure that we're just we're just getting ready for it already.
Yeah, biggest home game of the year for sure.
Absolutely.
Thus far, with and we'll get into it a little later, but with LSU, figuring it out really after the Troy loss, people were calling for Coach O, calling for his job after the Troy loss, and now we're going to be in here talking about how this is a tough
home
game.
Could be a trap game. Much better game than it was 3-4 weeks ago, for sure.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes the world go round, isn't it? Well, that's what's happening around the country today. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with some of our fearless picks, some more talk about the playoff, all of that stuff going on today here on Skybox 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Ballad Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone!
back in the skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. The first college football playoff rankings of the season are out. As we discussed earlier, you know, Bama's ranked number 2 behind Georgia. Overall, what do you guys think of the rankings? I think it was a little bit of a surprise seeing Georgia above Alabama. But, Mark, what are your thoughts on it initially when you first saw the rankings?
Yeah, I had thought it was possible. I think we had talked about it in the emails back and forth a little bit. First of all, I was pleased because I think it's great for
Best
Bama.
Possible scenario.
That's rat poison.
I think being number one, you've got the target. Bama's always going to have a target, but it's an even bigger target when you're number one in the first rankings of the college football playoffs of the season. And I think it gives Bama some extra motivation. And, yeah, it's not rat poison, right? Yeah. It's the opposite of rat poison.
Right, yeah.
Whatever that is, the antidote to rat poison, I guess, right?
And what's the – so I wasn't all that surprised either because this – every time the playoff has come out, it's had one of these things where they have a radically different view of something than the rest of the country maybe does, and maybe that's their big point that they want to make is that they're better than the rest of us. But outside of the Notre Dame win, what are the other – What does Georgia have on the schedule as far as wins that is a terribly impressive
win? I think it's similar to Alabama. Obviously, after Florida State has tanked, Alabama hasn't had the best schedule according to the rankings, but they've dominated people, and I think that's what Georgia has done. And
winning big against whoever you got,
right? Winning big against whoever you got, and I think expectations play a lot into it as well. Who expected Georgia to come out and absolutely dominate teams like they have? Not many people. I know I didn't. So I think that's really where Georgia gains the number one ranking. And we knew Alabama and Georgia were going to come into the playoff, this playoff ranking at 1 and 2. We just didn't really know the order, and so.
I'm guessing Notre Dame win is it.
Right, and obviously –
and that's a better win than we have.
Right, and they've taken head-to-head into consideration because Notre Dame, obviously lost by 1 point to Georgia, who's the number one team, but they're sitting at number 3. And they have more quality wins than Georgia does, obviously.
And
but
you all
they lost that
will expect record. This out of me, but the one that I was more baffled by was Clemson being at number 4 because their loss is crappy.
Their
loss
Syracuse
is to an average to poor Syracuse team.
Yeah,
and I'm a little surprised about that because they haven't beat a lot of other teams. They've played a lot of teams close. They've beaten a lot of teams by a touchdown or two touchdowns that they should have walloped. And so they are the one that doesn't fit to me in the top 4, but I can't come up with a compelling reason to put either Oklahoma or Ohio State up there, but give Ohio State their loss is better because it's to Oklahoma, but Oklahoma's loss is bad.
Well, I don't know, though. I think Iowa State's come on, though.
Which is true.
They were bad at the time.
Right.
They're like a 30-point underdog at the time, but Iowa State's also beat TCU, and so I think they're coming on, but I agree that Clemson's loss, though, is probably the worst among the three. Mm-hmm. And if I were ranking, I would put I'd probably put Ohio State in there, at that fourth spot based on their win against Penn State.
A strong
I know
team.
Oklahoma beat them at home, at Ohio State, but. I'm one of those. It's like, how are you doing now?
Yeah,
right. So and I think it's fascinating that Penn State, obviously, if they'd have won against Ohio State last week, they go into the top 4 probably at number 2 or 3, and then that loss to Ohio State puts them back at 7. Behind Oklahoma and Ohio State as it should. So it's just really interesting how that's played out, how Penn State drops. And I think what was interesting, I saw on Twitter, earlier in the week when these came out, the first year when the rankings came out, the year that Ohio State won it, I think they were like 15 or 16 when these came out. So really, I mean, it's early, and we're going to talk about this as the weeks come on. But this is, I think it's fun to get excited and frustrated and however else we get when talking about these rankings, but these are going to change, and I'm excited to see how they change. Who could make a run? Like I said, Miami, Florida, and Wisconsin are 7-0 and 8-0. Undefeated teams
in Power 5 conferences,
right? That just don't have the schedule to get them in right now. But maybe as the year goes on, as people lose or as people win big games, they're going to move up. So really, we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out, but it's just interesting to see Georgia at 1 and, Clemson in there at 4, honestly.
And I think the point that Mark made earlier about the Cyclones is a good one, and these college football playoff people would tell you that these are the rankings this week with what has happened up until now. And so my knock against the Oklahoma loss is based on my prediction that Iowa State will lose more games this year and will not end in the top 10. They will be a top 25, maybe a number 30 team, but that's not what this is about. This is about what has happened up until this week, and that's what they're going to tell us on TV, is that y'all are getting concerned about things that are in the future and not right now. And if you had to rank them up until now outside of Clemson, I get the rest of them, but I agree with Andrew too. You know, your Wisconsin's, your Miami's, some of those undefeated teams, I mean, it makes sense that UCF is not up there as an undefeated team with their schedule, but a team like Mississippi State with two losses, Iowa State with two losses, Auburn with two losses, there's a lot of teams with a lot of losses this early in the season already. Which I think is the impact of the playoff and the scheduling of stronger opponents early on in the season and fewer early cupcakes, which gives us more teams with one and two losses by this week. And so I like it. I like the fact that, yeah, you've got one or two losses, but it's not the end of your season. And in the former magical made-up version of however we selected teams, it really was the death knell loss at this point.
Was. I mean, look at Auburn. If Auburn beats Georgia and Alabama,
and they go
on and win the SEC title, they could get into the playoffs with two losses.
No doubt.
I mean, it's crazy, but that's you know that's sort of what we're looking at right now.
They could win those two, lose the SEC, and possibly get into the playoff as a four if other things shake out. Because I have little faith in Notre Dame keeping this up for a season.
I do too.
They haven't given us any reason in years past under Brian Kelly to really honestly have your trust.
And I think the only indication they've given is what we talked about a couple weeks ago, is that Brian Kelly has kept his mouth shut this year so far. And so that may be the only thing that tells me that that program has figured something out as far as distractions go and as far as self-caused distractions on their behalf. But other than that, they I don't think they have the playmakers. And they do play a tough schedule each year. I will give them credit for that. So they've still got weirdo teams coming up that they're going to possibly struggle against. And so I don't think they'll
Stanford, the ACC teams.
Yeah, they've got their pseudo ACC Pac-12 schedule coming up. And so they've still got some teams to play. And Florida State being down hurts teams like Alabama and Clemson and some of these other teams. But it also helps that Miami's playing decent football right now and that Virginia Tech's playing decent football. And so the ACC, while not certainly having four or six teams that are competitive, you know, NC State's competitive this year, and Virginia Tech's really much stronger, it seems, with a new coach there. And so maybe there's a little bit of interest there for just some bubble bursting by the ACC more so than anything, because I don't know what that ACC champion's going to look like if it's not a Clemson team that runs the table, who still has Auburn on the schedule, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if Clemson runs the table and beats an Auburn team and wins
the ACC. They've already played.
That's right. They beat Auburn.
They beat Auburn. So, I mean, Clemson running the table at this point, I guess, puts them in, but them getting one more loss, I don't know that the ACC has a team in the top four at the end of the season.
No. And, you know, if Notre Dame does win out, that's going to prevent a Power 5 conference, a couple of things.
That's when it really gets interesting. That's going to knock out two.
That's
exactly
when people will go nuts. Yep. I mean, that's you know, like Power 5 champions.
Yep.
They may, if Notre Dame's in there, that's
going to they can hurt a team like Wisconsin who could really go undefeated.
Or they could maybe make the Big 12 commissioner get their act together and talk and to Texas about a TV deal. Because let's be honest, that's all about a stupid TV deal. And it is. If they can figure out a TV deal, they're going to lose enough money at some point to finally realize that that is the problem. And so they're going to keep on beating each other. And they may be one of the stronger conferences going in the Power 5 right now, but the system that they have allowed themselves to be within is not going to benefit them at the end of the year, because they're going to beat themselves up.
Yeah, absolutely true. Yeah. Awesome. So, guys, that's where we stand with the rankings. We'll see if today's games have an impact. I'm sure they will. We'll take a short break, and we're gonna get to our fearless picks. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Hey,
Welcome back to the Skybox. You're listening on 90.7 The Capstone. Fellas, I need to bring something up. You know, last week's picks, I think it was the first week that I might have won this year. I went 12-8, which is not a desirable record for the amount of pick-ems that we had, but I feel like I needed to say something, you know, really to you guys. And, you know, George, as our Minnesota listener, first week I've won in a while because George and Mark have been dominating so far. Really exciting slate of games last week. But Adam, I know you're looking at it. What are some games that stood out to you last week? What were some surprises?
For us, last week was really Separation Saturday, wasn't it? I mean, we really kind of took a beating. All of us. I think it was the worst game. I mean, the worst week kind of collectively that we've had. I think right.
All group, yeah.
Because what were we? 10-10, and yeah. He was 12-8.
Yeah, so 12-8. So
Mark's taking a significant lead at this point with 146-48.
Right.
George is sitting at 139-55. Andrew there is at young Andrew is at 135-59. I'm sitting there at 132-62. And so,
and none of those are bad. That's pretty good percentages. But last week kind of brought us all down. Although, as we said, Andrew survived the week.
I did. I survived and did not thrive.
Just kind of run over, but he survived, so that was good.
Right.
Yeah, and looking at last week's games, I'm not. What was really the separation for you? Which ones did you get right that we got wrong?
I actually don't know off the top of my head at all. But
so Andrew, a champion would kind of realize how they became a champion, so that they could be a champion in the future as well. So they're not just a fire that burns bright for just a brief second,
right,
and then is extinguished.
So the
sustainability.
I can give you guys an insight
of your winning maybe in question. Here.
I can give you an insight to. I know we all picked FAU, which was great. Obviously, it was hard to pick against my Hilltoppers. Right. Mark can never get that pick right.
Right.
You know, I watched that game, which was tough to watch.
Some of these games, I don't know why we're picking.
Mark couldn't stay away from the Lane Kiffin at WKU pick, so it had to be on there. I know I'm usually picking against Louisville. You know, I'm usually picking my guy Jeff Brom at Purdue. So, you know, those that's a little into my thought process. That's what a 12-8 week will get you.
I actually picked. I had one good pick. I picked Iowa State over TCU.
You did,
yeah.
If not for that, I would have had like a losing record last week on that week.
Well, and that's what my week was like too. You get one or two early upsets, and you just think you own the world, right? And then all of a sudden, the rest of it just falls the other way.
This is a humiliating business, picking college football games.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why we elect to do this for fun, really. Yeah. But, yeah, so it was a tough week. The like you mentioned earlier, the Ohio State-Penn State game was certainly one of the most fun games. I picked, out of character, I picked Florida to upset Georgia because I think Georgia normally stubs their toe when they start to kind of beat their chests. And I felt them beating their chests over the last week. And then I thought that they were going to go down to Jacksonville and lose. And they didn't. They went down there and beat their chests. They beat the chests of all the Gators. They beat up everybody. And so that was a it takes a lot for me to go out on a limb and choose the Gators.
Oh, I know. For you to choose the Gators, the Alachua County team.
Lizards, as you call them.
Yep.
But, you know, that's an interesting point, though. I'm wondering. I'm still not totally convinced Georgia's not going to stub their toe.
I agree.
I'm still not. They look great against Florida. I guess they look great. I was on the road, you know.
They did. They really did.
But
they did.
But you know, and they've won. They were obviously beat a bad Tennessee team badly.
Right.
You know, they're blowing people out now, and they're on a roll. But I still wonder. You know, they've got Auburn coming up, like South Carolina this weekend. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But the I wonder where the South Carolina. I'm not going to pick. I'll just tell you now. I'm not picking South Carolina in that game. But I wonder whether that might be closer than some of the other games because Georgia's really – now they're number one. You know, it's like
I have something that will not surprise you to at all. I'm actually going to South Carolina. I'm going to Florida at South Carolina. Got a couple friends that work – got a friend that works in Florida, a friend that went to undergrad at South Carolina. You know I have to get my SEC East fix.
Most Andrew thing ever.
Yeah, so I'm traveling to Columbia next Saturday. Really excited. I have my picks.
You are the absolute king of going to media.
I am. I am. And guys, here's the thing. I love it. I can't stay away. It's my bag.
You take it for the team. I'm telling you.
You're our team man
going to support college football.
That's right.
In all of its forms. That's what I like about you.
Where I separated myself last week, I will get back to the week that I won here.
Yeah.
I've got them pulled up. Oklahoma State, Arkansas, Oregon, and USC. Those are the four.
There you go.
Those are the four games that that I picked that really went the other way for everybody else, which
every
is
every year, Mark, the Arizonas just screw with us throughout the
you
year.
Can't,
they
you
just
can never
us.
Pick them correctly.
So it's just one week after the other.
Except Arizona. Now, I picked them right the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so
get ready, buddy.
Say, because of the quarterback, though, because of Khalil Tate.
Right.
You know, and I think he's the best quarterback in the country now.
Which,
I really do.
And like you said, I can guarantee you that USC beats him this week then. I guarantee you. Because Mark just went out on a limb and said, no, they're fine. They're fine. They're a consistent winner.
But the Arizona State's a different. They're just we got to take them off the big board. It's ridiculous.
Guys, their games start at 1 a.m. Central Standard Time. I can't stay up and watch those games.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and my mighty Seminoles did exactly what I thought they would do, and they ruined a Friday night by getting just walloped by BC on the road.
Oh, no. You were very close to having a bad weekend with the Seminoles and Ohio State
to that team? I mean, I know Bama beat them and knocked out Francois and all that, but what's happened to the defense? What's happened to that team?
So I think that they have now lost. I think that the team has given up. And so the saddest thing, as you all know as a college football fan, is watching the players and knowing that they're not playing for the team. And so the talent is still there, Mark. That's what you're saying, right? Is that the same guys are on that team that can play well, and the distractions of, I think, Coach Fisher and his treatment of the media and his treatment of the fans, quite honestly, and the calls for the coaches to be fired, and, you know, much like your love of whatever Vol Nation message boards, you know, you spend a little time on warchant.com, and they don't care about a $40 million buyout. They're ready. The boosters, the Seminole boosters will come up with $40 million. They'll get them out of there. And I'm not that far, but I'll tell you, as somebody who has a very Tallahassee-curated social media feed, most of my friends are done, and they're done with Coach Fisher. Now, I think that he needs to clean house and get rid of all the other coaches. He needs to hire an OC to call plays. Right. It is a different job of being a head coach, and he's got a fake OC now, but they're not. He's calling the plays, and so that stuff needs to get fixed. And unfortunately, Rick Trickett, who I'm a huge fan of on the O-line, that coach's got to go. Charles Kelly has got to go. We're the worst offense on third and fourth down. We're the slowest playing team in the world, apparently. I mean, just the facts are not on your side. And we were going to lose to BC on the road on a Friday night. We were always going to do that. That's what we like to do. But losing 35-3 is not what should have happened.
No.
We should have lost 16-10. We should have lost something like that. And so the players didn't play. And to me, that goes back around to coaching, and that goes back around to locker room, because of exactly what you're saying, Mark. They did not lose all of those players. Those players are still on the team, and those players are not taking any fewer reps in practice, and those players did not lose their abilities. Those players lost the heart to play for the people that they're playing for, and part of that's the coaches, and part of that's the name of the university, and part of that's everything else. And that's a worse problem, and to me, my fear is the bowl streak, because I think one of the cooler things is the Florida State bowl streak.
Yeah.
And I make fun of how easy it is to get in bowls all the time on the show, because it's a cakewalk, and they've got Clemson left on their schedule. They've got Florida left on their schedule. They've got Syracuse left on their schedule. They've got some losses.
You know,
outside of Delaware State, they've got two or three losses left on their schedule.
We talk about head coaches and what – fan base likes their coach and dislikes their coach, and what coach is on the hot seat, what coach is up next. You know, you talk about Scott Frost at UCF. You talk about all these guys who could take big jobs, and the buyouts that come with it. Everything, you know, part of college football is who your head coach is and, you know, how they coach the team. Back in August, if you would have said Jimbo Fisher was going to be in this situation, you'd have thought you were crazy.
Yeah.
And so – it just shows how volatile a football program can be, and how a couple losses really affect it, and how if you don't manage that correctly as a head coach, it can get away from you. And I hate to say it, but it seems like it's gotten away from Jimbo in this sense of you talking about the players giving up and people calling for coaches' heads.
And his reaction to these things.
And I think I just as a fan, I think it's fascinating to see how tough it is to actually coach football, and how, you know, and like I said, they're getting paid millions of dollars. that you know, you get paid to do it, but it truly is fascinating to see how far a team can go from the top five team in the nation to a team that might not make a bowl for the first time in how long? What is it? Is it 30 something?
Yeah,
years?
I mean, we talk about the arms race in college football all the time, and part of the arms race is the coaches and the money that's going into the buyouts, and we're going to be in trouble until 2022. With buyout money with him, and that drops still down to $12 million. But I think something. I was talking to a friend the other day, and they were asking me similar questions as you would imagine. And you know, Coach Saban's rough around the edges personality and his bark and bite are charming when you're winning 10, 11, 12 games every year.
Right.
If you lose, if Coach Saban was losing four games this year. He wouldn't be so charming either. And I think Jimbo is coming at the game in a very similar way, but has not found the ability to dial it back.
Knowing that he's lost,
you've got to eat some of your own crow. You know, you've got to realize that, you can't call out a fan on the field on tape and not apologize for it. And you can't do those types of things. These are young men that look up to you, and this is a community that supports you, and you've turned your back on it. So I'll stop talking about Florida State now, but I picked them to lose, and I think they're going to lose a few more. And Florida's the fact that Jim McElwain doesn't have a job. All of these things.
We haven't talked about that yet. It's amazing to me
how that went down and that whole situation. I just can't understand some of these things.
So, Mark, talking about Jim McElwain, I think one of the most fascinating parts about that, you talked about the bark and the bite. McElwain didn't get fired for wins and losses on the field. He got fired for...
That's the question.
Right.
Strickland
said that in the press conference. It wasn't just about the 30-point loss they took to Georgia. It was everything else that came with it.
The death threat stuff, but other stuff we probably don't know about that came into play there in terms
of your federal fraud cases.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going on there?
And this a preemptive strike against a NCAA investigation that's coming up? Is this an Ole Miss move of getting him out so we can start getting on that? Because the death threat thing, as somebody who loves trolling message boards, you cannot tell me that there is not a death threat somewhere on record of somebody in Gainesville
There's no question. He could have found proof of that.
So somewhere. He got fired for something else, and it's part of the Florida fan base who's crazy to fire somebody who's 22-12 in two or three seasons, who's been in SEC championship games.
I know.
Because outside of 1996 and a couple years with Urban Meyer, folks, let's remember who you are.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Right. And the thing is it seemed like that he never really got along with Florida and the Florida
the
community. And but he did win football games, so there was always that tension there. And like I go back to how delicate or how volatile a coaching situation can be, and how bad it can go, and how good it can go. And I think that's just one of the many pieces.
You've been around here longer than we have. Everybody I know here that was here when he was here said he was a great man and was a great man first and foremost and a great coach.
He did a great job here.
Absolutely.
And he's a really good man. I mean, I always thought he's a real class act, but it seems like the Florida fans have a completely different view of that. I don't know. It's like they wanted him out. Part of that's just the loss to Georgia did that,
To put words in your mouth, Mark, but are you maybe saying that in Gainesville or Alachua County, a class act is not what they're looking for?
Yes, I think that's probably
that class. Class maybe does not fit into that community.
That might be a better way to put it.
Now, that's not my words. That was kind of what Mark, I think, was trying to explain, and I just wanted to see. No, I know the written word is more of Mark's thing, and so I didn't know if I could maybe clarify that of our fan base.
I think you put it in the right words.
Class act is going to have a tough time down there.
Talking about Hal when he was here at Alabama, Greg McElroy was on the SC Network talking about how much he loved Coach Mack and how he would game plan to his strengths and abilities, and it's so interesting
Saban's comments about him this week. Now, Saban's going not to get a bad mouth of the coach, but Saban really likes him. I mean, he really respects him, and because the guy did a great job for him.
But the only two coaches that the University of Florida has ever loved is Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer. Yeah. Two people who do not have the greatest record as far as being
very
charmers,
true.
Right?
Right.
And so Ron Zook was a great guy, great recruiter, and he got the heck out of there, right?
Yeah.
But Muschamp's great guy,
right?
From all accounts so far.
We'll talk about Muschamp a little later. I thought Muschamp fit the mold.
Yeah.
He just couldn't win for some reason.
I think I like Muschamp.
Yeah, but that's classic Andrew.
Muschamp has
young Andrew.
He's got an attitude problem, but hey, who knows?
I like Will. Great. All right. Well, that's talking about coaches and Adam's rant on Florida State.
And Florida.
And Florida, which is always fun.
That's what the listeners came to hear, Andrew.
Absolutely. So we'll be back with some fearless picks. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to The Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
We are fearlessly back in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone here this morning. You know, we've got fearless picks here coming up, and we've talked a little bit about how last week went, and Andrew kind of talked about how great he is for 1 week. And so let's see if we can keep that streak alive. A lot of interesting games this week. Once again, we're getting into the meat of the schedule here in most of the conferences in the Power Five. And it kicks off here in just a little bit with Auburn at Texas A&M. On ESPN, this is an interesting game to me. I think you all are going to think about it a little bit differently. What do you got, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Texas A&M, actually. Ooh, at home.
You are.
So we didn't talk about it in the last segment.
We didn't.
I had to make some picks last week that went against the grain a little bit.
You did.
I think that's why I'm going Texas A&M at home. I shouldn't, but you know, we've made fun of both these teams for not ever figuring it out. Texas A&M has a million people at their stadium, and I think they're going to win.
What about you, Mark?
I'm going with the Gus Bus on this. I think they're going to win it. Now, I would not be surprised, and I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see A&M beat them, by the way. But I think Auburn – it just comes down to I think Auburn's got the better team. And I also think they've got some motivation because they see Georgia coming up and Bama coming up, and they think they got a chance for the SEC title. They don't. But I think they'll win this one.
So I'm going to follow young Andrew's lead here, and he inspired me last week. And honestly, my older man metabolism can't handle five corn dogs at this point, so I'm just going to follow his lead by taking TAMU. I think Texas A&M pulls this win off at home. I think you're right, the crowd, everything else. I think the Gus Bus is starting to feel themselves a little bit, and they're starting to get excited about the future, and I think they're going to look too far in the future and take a loss. So I think they lose. I think we got a trap game here at 11 o'clock with Penn State at Michigan State. I think we got a hungover Penn State after a brutal, brutal game. Going into Sparty, another one of these awful Fox Big Ten broadcasts. And I think this is more of a trap than I think maybe you gentlemen do. But, Andrew, you're keeping your cards close to your chest right now. What do you got?
I think I'm going to go Penn State. I think James Franklin really has they have the team rolling, even though it was a tough loss last week. I think they're built for sustained success. So I'm going to go Penn State.
Unlike your own program.
Correct.
Yeah. Mark.
Correct.
I'm
sorry.
That's okay.
I'm going Penn State too on this one. Big loss they had last week, disappointing loss, but I think they bounce back. Michigan State, this is set for an upset, but I think Penn State pulls it out.
I'm also going to be up front here. I lose in picks every season on this show, and they keep on inviting me back, and I'm unclear of exactly why that happens. But I'm going to take Sparty with an upset. Andrew almost changed my mind because I think that much of what we talked about with Jimbo in the earlier segment is not true of Coach Franklin.
Absolutely.
I think Coach Franklin, even
opposite.
In a tough loss, has that team and appears to be just one heck of a coach and especially matches that program and that city very well. But I'm going to take Michigan State on a hangover special, mostly because I got to make up some ground here, folks, and I'd like to see Sparty get a win. We are picking the Kansas State-Texas Tech game as well. Because it is a football game and it is happening this morning. It is on FS1, so
I don't know if this is
classic FS1. I don't even think this one gets the football robot. I think only the real Fox game gets the football robot. I think this is just a –
there we go.
But I think Texas Tech takes this easily. I don't know about you all.
I agree. Absolutely.
I love me some Kansas State, but I don't think they have it.
No, I'm at Texas Tech all the way. No
Absolutely.
Doubt about it.
I'll stick with 11 o'clock just because
You have to pick
because I have to pick a Syracuse at Florida State game. I don't know, man. I think FSU.
That's the sound of a broken man right there. Yeah.
I think FSU wins, but I don't have any compelling reason to say so.
Well, I think FSU wins. I'm the same way. This is a nothing game now. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Florida State, a nothing game. Nobody cares about this game except, you know, the people who are alums and the fans, you know.
People who pay for the ACC
like
network.
Hey, Clemson
here.
Fans care about this game.
Yeah.
That's really it.
I'm going with FSU, though.
I'm going to go with Dino Babers in the Syracuse Orange. Yeah. I just from Adam really got me down on Florida State.
I'm a broken
earlier.
Man. You can see it. Yeah. They can't see it on the airwaves. You can maybe hear it. I'm a broken man.
I know. Well, at least you got Ohio State rolling pretty
well. Yeah, I guess. Going, that's why we got to pick a lot of teams.
But that third wheel is not doing too well.
It's tough. It's tough. That's why we got a lot of irons in the fire. Right. I'll just finish out 11 o'clock here because one of my other favorite topics of conversation, the Lizards of Alachua are going into Missouri. Missouri still has a football program, and they're going to play this game, Andrew. This kind of seems like up your alley, Florida Mizzou.
So I knew that was coming. I will not you will not find me at this game. I guarantee it. I'm actually going with the Lizards. I'm going with Florida. Randy Shannon's going to have them rocking and rolling. His press conference was it was poised. It was probably what the Florida fans wanted to hear. It was what the players needed to hear.
Randy Shannon's been kicking around the state of Florida for a while and just not been put into the right position, but I think he can be in the right position to be a great coach in a major college football program.
Absolutely. So I think Florida rallies to beat Missouri.
I'm going Mizzou. I'm picking Mizzou on this. I think Randy Shannon or not, I think the Gators are the Lizards, the Gators, whatever they're – and I don't know what kind of uniforms they're showing up in today. But I think Mizzou, which is playing a little bit better than they started the season.
Drew Locke's thrown for a million yards the past
year. Yeah, so I think Mizzou beats them at home.
I think Andrew's bringing some real knowledge to the show this week, and
I did win last week.
You
I
did.
Won the
I'm just happy
week,
so. To be around you today. I think that you utilized the fall break and the bye week better than any of the rest of us did. I do. I think you're living your best life.
Yeah.
And
I did sit in my chair for like 13 straight hours. So
I think we're just kind of in your shadow. I'm going to take Missouri. But I don't feel good about it anymore. Your Randy Shannon comments, I think, are really strong. I think that could be when you're referencing a Randy Shannon presser, then, I mean, I don't know what you and I are doing, Mike.
He's digging deep. When
exactly.
He's I love the SEC Network.
I know you do.
So we'll go to the 2:30. We have Stanford at Washington State. Really good Pac-12 matchup. Mark, what are your thoughts on this one?
I'm going Stanford on this. I think Washington State, the Pirate, has pirated out. I think he's walked the plank. I think he started off great. I think he's going downhill. I think he's taking on water. And I think Stanford's a much better team.
Yeah, I'm going Stanford as well.
Gosh, that's a lot of pirate metaphors.
Yeah, sorry.
Is this game at 2:30 p.m. or a.m.? I'm not – this is Pac-12,
right?
Right
during
the
show, it says 2:30 p.m. But
I'd like to I would like to take the Pirate too, but I think Mark's right. I think this is the fast fizzle, and I'll go ahead and go with Stanford as well.
Yep. One of the more interesting games of the day at 2:30, we have Clemson at NC State. NC State really coming on. Clemson obviously in the playoff hunt right now. Adam, what's your pick here?
Man, I wrote down Clemson on my page. What I really want to do is just watch that clip of Dabo getting scared over and over and over from YouTube if you haven't seen that on Halloween.
Seen it, no.
So please just watch that on a loop instead of this game. But I just crossed it out. I'm going NC State at home in an upset, boys.
Oh,
that's
there
it.
There we go. There we go. That's fearless.
I'm flipping
going,
it.
Yeah, I'm going Clemson. I feel like we're on the opposite end of the spectrum here.
Yeah, I'm
today.
Going Clemson on this, too.
Yeah,
sure.
I got to make up some ground.
Ohio State coming off a big win at Penn State. They have Iowa, 2:30 p.m. on ESPN.
I think Ohio State blows them out.
Yeah.
You do? I think this is the trap game, but because I love my family
love
and my wife,
game.
I got to pick Ohio State. But I think that this is the real trap game. I think the hangover may be harder for Ohio State than it may be Penn State. Right. But,
well, it is true. Kirk Ferentz can keep a game or win a game like this. It's the games against the nobody loses, so you might have a point.
I think this may be close, but Ohio State wins.
Speaking of trap games, we have South Carolina at Georgia, the 2:30 CBS game of the week. I'm going to go ahead and say I think Georgia keeps it rolling. They look like a bully. They play like a bully. They stop the run. They run the ball. And South Carolina just not there yet.
I agree. I think UGA beats a bad South Carolina team.
I do too. Totally.
A lot of 2:30 games say we have Iowa State at West Virginia. Iowa State coming off some big wins here, but playing at the comb over. Mark,
comb over lets
what do you
me
think?
Down every time.
He does.
I think the comb over is going to be in trouble. I think the his hair is going. What's left? It's going to get wind blown, and I believe Iowa State's going to continue their resurgence and win this game.
Gotcha. I'm going to go West Virginia. And the fun part about this part of the season is there are such good games on that we're not agreeing a lot, which is probably a bad thing for me. Yeah. But that's okay.
Well, I think I'm going to take Iowa State. I've done a coin flip too. I just don't quite know. And I wrote down West Virginia yesterday, and I think it's going to be Iowa State on the road. Nope, stop, scratch it. I'm sticking with West Virginia.
There you go.
There we go.
I'm sticking with it.
2:30 p.m., we have Army at Air Force. Military game here, really exciting to finish out 2:30. I'm going to go ahead and say Air Force, the Falcons, in Colorado Springs.
I'm going the Army.
All Army.
I'm all Army.
I'm all Army on this one.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. Hey, we got another one, big one. And I don't know. We got FS1 as the network. I can't believe that's Oklahoma at Oklahoma State.
Bedlam.
Bedlam.
FS1 loves them some Big 12.
I guess so.
Everybody but Texas.
Yeah. Who you guys got?
I think Oklahoma's going to win this game. I really like Texas. I like Oklahoma State. I love the Mullet, but I think Oklahoma is just the better team.
I have struggled with this one.
A very close margin.
Yeah, I think State wins it by a very close margin.
I would love to see that.
I think this is a coin flip. I think Oklahoma State wins. I'm going to go with the shirtless mullet.
I'm with you, Adam. I'm going Oak State. I'm going with the mullet. I think they'll win this one.
It's a glorious mullet.
Yep. Let's get in like one more pick for the break. Ole Miss at Kentucky in a game that nobody cares about.
I need at least 20 minutes to talk about this one.
Yeah.
Ole Miss was another one last week that was a little
– right.
They blew a massive
lead. Ole Miss at Kentucky.
I think the – I don't know, man. I'm going to say
– Let's just put no decision.
Just take a pass. I don't know, man.
We should take a pass.
I'm going to say the Cats. My buddies, all my best friends from home went to UK. They're high on life. They're bowl eligible. They beat the Vols for the second time in 33 years. So I'm going with the Cats.
If I can't take a mulligan, then I'm going to take Kentucky. I love me some Marquis Stoops. You guys
do.
Oh,
yeah.
Stoops, I desperately miss him.
You do. You love Stoops troops.
I desperately miss him.
You have. I'm going with you on that. I'm going with Kentucky Blue on this. I think they'll win.
And that is Kentucky's, and that is why Kentucky's going to lose.
Yeah, exactly. Because we all took them.
There we go.
Well, that's a good batch of them, but we've got a handful of these games left to pick here fearlessly, and we've got the big Bama LSU game coming up. Stay with us here on the Skybox 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Okay, we got a few games left here to pick, and then we'll talk about the Bama LSU. So, tell you what, guys, Texas at TCU. What do you got?
I like the Horned Frogs.
Yeah, I think
Texas
TCU
is
going to
be there at some point, but they're not there yet. Horned Frogs for sure.
Will they ever be there? That's the question. But
I think
we'll take TCU.
TCU. Yep. You guys. I don't know. I'm gonna. I was thinking. I'm taking TCU.
Yeah, Horned Frogs.
I was thinking about Texas, but no, TCU.
Not too long.
All right, Southern Miss at Tennessee. Nobody cares about this but Andrew on this thing.
You know,
this is an Andrew special.
This is
a me special. I have obviously very close Tennessee ties. Very, very good friend of mine works at Southern Miss. I think Tennessee's going to win this game. But yeah, it's going to be tough. I'll probably watch it. No, I'm not. I'll be at the Bama game. I'm not watching that.
I'm going to take Tennessee, too, because I have to take one.
Yep, I'm taking Tennessee, and I will not be watching, and I won't be listening, and I don't care.
but you will be on Vol Nation.
Right, but I will.
Right. He's going to troll some people about it, but he doesn't care that much.
Right. I only care if they lose. It'll be interesting to see the dumpster fire continuing, which is still burning on Vol Nation.
Oh, it is burning.
I only care enough to stay up till 4 a.m. on the Vol's message board. I don't care enough to watch it.
All right, guys. Minnesota, our colleague Dr. George Brown and the Golden Gophers, the Goldie Gophers, and they're going against Michigan. So what do you got?
I think your khaki lord pulls it off.
Milk-drinking khaki lord, yeah. Let's do it.
Yep, I'm with the khaki lord on this one. All right. Virginia Tech at Miami. This is a good game.
A good game, people. I'm glad you acknowledged that, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking
Virginia Tech in Miami.
For more intel there.
At Miami.
Yep, at Miami.
Young Andrew's doing research as we speak.
Pick up the Crimson White, look at the picks on the back.
The award-winning Crimson White.
The award-winning Crimson White.
Yeah.
My boy Cody Estramera.
Yep.
My guy picked Miami. I'm going with him. He's the only one that picked Miami. Cody Estramera.
Why is your whole sports team picking Virginia Tech? That's a bit
odd. I don't get that. I don't know. Something in the water around here.
Yeah.
I'm not
really
sure.
So I really want to pick Va Tech on the road. I think that that's I think that that could happen. I wrote down Miami as hard as that was, but I think I'm going to go Va Tech. I don't care. I'm going with all these jokers.
I'm going Miami. I think they continue. I think the nice guys win this one too.
James, Joe, Ben, so, I'm with you.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know about you, Cody.
Cody, sticking with my
– Cody, you can have young Andrew if you
so,
like.
So, 9 p.m., yeah. We have Oregon at Washington. You know, not –
Remember when this game would be a joke the other way?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Remember when we would not even pick this because Oregon would run the table with them? And I think Washington is hands down going to win this game without a question.
I do too. I think they're going to blow them out at home.
Yeah,
I love me some Coach Taggart, but not it's not going to happen tonight. Yeah. Final game, 9:45 p.m. The game that Adam will not probably see.
Oh, no.
We have Arizona at USC. Mark, you love picking Arizona.
I do.
What are your thoughts?
My man, you know, Khalil Tate. I'm going all the way with him. I think he's going to win the Heisman. And
that's the most fearless pick all year.
I do. I still believe he's going to pull it out. I think he's going to do it, and I think he's going to give USC a lot to think about. I don't think they're going to stop him. I think he's going to run all over him, pass all over him, and I think Arizona wins it by 10 points.
The only team that has messed me up more than Arizona is USC. And so I have to strangely pick Arizona and go with Mark because USC has flipped on me every time I've chosen them. And so I'm going to go Zona on the road. I don't think that they're going to ever give a Heisman Trophy to somebody in the Arizona market, which is full of retirees.
Pac-12 at night, too.
Pac-12 at night, Arizona. It's a dry heat.
Right.
If you're 95, it'll be a lovely place to live. But I'm still going to take Zona over USC.
I'm taking the Trojans. They were good to me last week.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
For sure.
All right.
Well, hey, that's our picks for the day, guys. Let's talk about LSU and Alabama. One of them, obviously, up until this point, the most exciting game, home game Alabama has. As of a couple weeks ago, I feel like we talked about earlier in the show. After LSU lost to Troy, it looked like this game was going to be, worthless and no fun to watch.
Yeah, let's be honest. Some people were thinking about selling their tickets right then and there.
Yeah,
but Coach O, he's loaded up the team with some more gumbo, and they've, it looks like they've really turned it around. Mark, what are your initial thoughts? Yeah. Talked about what you think is going to happen during the game.
Well, this one, I'm picking Bama, and you guys probably are too, but this one's tough to know how it's going to work because
– This is always the most surprising part of the show.
Yeah, right. The homerism coming in here. But I don't think LSU can upset Bama in this stadium. But I'm not – it can happen, obviously. But it's interesting to see what kind of LSU team shows up, what kind of Alabama team shows up. We know Alabama's going to be consistently good. They played – hadn't had a poor game all
right,
year.
This season they haven't done that.
And so they're going to come out, particularly that I do think the motivation of being ranked two instead of one is going to help them. LSU really wants to win this game.
They are
tired of losing to Alabama.
They are.
And I think they're going to come out and play really hard. But, I think Bama's got the better team. I think Bama is going to come out and start it'll be close in the beginning. I think Bama begins to dominate this game as it wears on.
So the thing I look at is 2 years ago when LSU came in here, Leonard Fournette was playing for LSU. They had a pretty very good loaded roster.
He
with
was
talent.
Playing for them before this game.
Well, yeah.
When he showed up here, he stopped.
Right, he stopped. And which is what I'm going
right.
to. You know, the LSU team had a lot more juice. They were coming here, and Alabama blew him out and just really crushed him and stopped him. And so I think I think LSU has. I don't think they have much of a chance to win, really, at all. But, them winning the past few games has been exciting, and it's, fun that they're coming in here as a 6-2 team and, not a 4-5 team. Whatever.
As usual, I think both of you have had some flashes of brilliance with your comments about this game.
Thanks, Adam. That's very uplifting.
Flashes. And, Mark, I agree with you that LSU wants to win this game like none other. I mean, they really this year, and they're feeling it, and I think that is a bit of a trap for us. But I also agree with you in the fact that we haven't had that team this season where we've kind of laid a little bit of an egg. No. We've been pretty consistent. Part of me says that makes us due for possibly a bit of a letdown game. And I feel, though, that maybe I would be more afraid of a letdown game at Starkville next week after a big win this week than maybe this week. And so I think we have enough to beat LSU. And your genius comments about the team that came in here 2 years ago, that really was a stronger team on both sides of the ball that just got dominated. And I think the night atmosphere here – this weekend, this evening, is just going to be huge. And,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to be there. And I think that singing Yellow Hammer at the end of the night is going to be an especially satisfying end to the evening. So I think I'm looking at I'm looking at 31-13.
Gotcha. Missed extra point, huh?
31-13.
Or TD and two field goals.
I'm looking at 37-18.
All right,
18.
You guys are picking some strange numbers here.
Hey guys, a lot of field goals, maybe a safety.
I think.
Hey, you're laughing, but hey, you just wait.
Field goals. A touchdown, a few field goals, and a safety.
That's right.
That's where Andrew's going.
There we go. Wow. Okay. You're probably going to be right because you said that.
Hey, keep laughing, Adam. Keep laughing when a big 18 spot shows up on the board.
If they get 18, I will buy you full price corn dogs, as many as you want after the game.
There we go.
Hey, you're going to regret that.
Full price. I am going to regret that.
I'm thinking more like 42-10.
Ooh.
I think Bama's going to score points on this team. I know it's LSU, but I think Bama's will be a little upset about the number two ranking, but I also just think ultimately they're just a better football team, and you know, they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, and you know, sometimes that works not in your favor.
Yeah, right.
When you're playing well and then you take a break.
The number two ranking, I think, is key. I absolutely think that gives us a little bit of extra motivation that maybe we wouldn't have had.
Antidote to rat poison, as you said.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know what the degenerates out west are saying about the game, about the spread. I don't know what they think is going to happen either. I don't know if
– I think it's like a 21 point.
Is it okay?
Yeah,
so,
it's a high one, yeah.
Yeah, it's 21.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but I can't wait for tonight. I wish they'd let me in there right now.
I think interesting thing you said. How bad does LSU want this game?
Yeah,
they want it every year.
I think that's scary. Though.
Really, since 2011. I mean, they have not. It's interesting how dominant Alabama has been in this series, and it's gone back and forth, you know, in the earlier Saban years. But man, LSU fans, this one's gonna be. I think this one's gonna be hard on them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard on them. LSU's tired of Bama stuffing their run game, but they're going to do it again, I believe. You know, I don't think LSU's passing is good enough to overcome that.
Yeah. Danny Etling is not going to beat Alabama.
No, and I think us running on them is going to be kind of the thing that beats them down too. And if they're running into our line and we're running all over them, that's just going to mentally break them down pretty quickly.
Yep, I think so. Well, all right, guys, that's going to do it. You know, it's another week of Skybox. I hope cheer to everybody coming in town for the game tonight.
This is indeed another week.
We can absolutely say that with certainty.
With certainty, this was another week of a show that we made.
After all these bad picks, we at least know that one, right?
Yeah, Adam, okay. I need your section number, and so when the game's over and the corn dogs, when they've scored 18 points.
I'll deliver them.
Yeah.
Don't think that we don't have them in our house.
Folks. Okay.
I'll come over and hang out with the boys. All right,
everybody just keep the number 18 in mind, okay, as you go the game tonight. So, it's been great. Thanks to Terry Siggers, our producer on the show and the GM of the station, for helping us out here. And we'll be back here same time, same station next week. You've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Roll Tide, everyone.
Roll Tide.